This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's service will be given at the close of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
During the church's 2,000-year history, there have been many strong disagreements which have been unpleasant, but none can compare to the controversies on the basic question, how is a person saved? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, we pray that in this day of confusion, your church might give a clear answer as to what your word has to say regarding a person entering into a relationship with you, both for now and for all eternity. Forgive us our sins, where we have contradicted so often that testimony of your word, and grant that today we may be true to the gospel. Hear our prayer, which we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the second chapter of James. It begins with the 14th verse. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical need, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without your deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man. Do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scriptures were fulfilled that say, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does, and not by faith alone. Here ends a reading of God's holy word.
Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy ribs wish flowed, be of sin the double cure, cleanse me from its guilt and power. Not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no my tears forever flow, all for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. While I draw this fleeting breath, when mine eyes shall close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee.
Friends in Christ, during the Church's 2,000-year history, there have been many strong disagreements which have been unpleasant, but none can compare to the controversy on the basic question of Christianity: how is a person saved? Does a person enter into a personal relationship with God? If so, then how? How does a man or woman enter the heavenly home? There are at least four answers to this question: how is a person saved? The most common answer, even among church members, is, live a good life and you will get to heaven. St. Peter will wink at you upon your arrival at the pearly gates. Nothing could be farther from the truth as taught by the Bible. However, the moralist and the humanists believe this is the way to eternal life, if, by the way, there is an existence beyond the grave. Talk to some of your friends and ask them if they know they will be in heaven one day. In many cases, the answer is going to be, I hope so. Why do they hope? Because they are relying on their own good works, and they are never quite sure if they have done enough. So much for answer one: you earn your way to heaven. The second one comes from a staunch church member who has been well taught in the doctrines of the church. These doctrines have become family traditions. Be baptized, know the teachings of the catechism, go to Holy Communion once in a while, And the central teaching of Jesus Christ should be something that can flow freely from your lips. That's it. Then you are free to live as you please. Your way of life might be contrary to God's word, but it is so easy to say, well, Jesus died for my sins, and that covers it all. Here, faith has been reduced to intellectual assent. That is, to a system of dogma. You say, well, I learned this, that I'm a sinner, Jesus died for me, and I believe it. And that's all there is to it. Now that sounds very, very good. But the believing is saying, I give intellectual assent to it. That is only a part of faith. And so if you leave it there, you have nothing more than dead orthodoxy. The third answer is a mixture of faith and good works. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a basic part of the answer. But it is followed up with the dictate that you must live by a strict code of law. This law first is the law of God, the Ten Commandments. And the other law is the law of man. Laws that men and women have brought together during the course of Christianity's history. I know from a personal experience that a faith that has faith plus works gives me salvation is a very unhappy way of life. For the first 20 years of my life, I believed that I was saved by trusting Jesus as my Savior and Lord. But then I was given a list of do's and don'ts, and that contributed to my salvation too. Many of you have had the same experience. Some of the legalism that has been thrown to me as a young person, you have also experienced. You know those rules that they got somewhere. You shall not play cards. You shall not go to a movie. You shall not dance. And I'm sure there were some others, but they have disappeared from my mind, for which I thank God. That's the faith I had when I went to college to study for the ministry. Oh, I was happy to say that Jesus had died for my sins, but there was still something missing, and I could not make that contribution in its entirety. So I had no assurance of my salvation. Then one day, as a college student, I heard a theological professor admonish a large group of pastors. I don't know if I was supposed to be in that meeting or not, but it was in an auditorium on the college campus, and I was really searching for peace with God. And then I heard this man say, Professor Theodore Grebner of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, Missouri, speaking to Lutherans of all different synods, you preach as though Christ has accomplished 99% of what must be done to be saved, but the people have to give 1%. They have to make a contribution, and they can't do it. Why don't you just bathe their souls in the gospel and tell them that Jesus Christ has died for them? Tell them that he did it 100%. Let them become a living truth in their being and see how their lives will change. This was the biblical answer and answer four in our outline today. It's a biblical answer because St. Paul says it so clearly. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. That's written in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. This is what Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. That is what Augusta Toplady wrote in the great hymn that we sing so often and has been used on the program today, Rock of Ages. Notice that verse. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to your cross I cling. That's how we are saved. Here, faith is not simply intellectual assent, but rather it is trust. Faith in Christ causes us to love Him, and out of love for Him, we serve Him. These good works, which are the result of people's faith, do not contribute to their salvation, but they are the fruits of their faith. Because the Lord Jesus has saved me, I want to live for Him. It is to this important point in our Christian faith that James speaks today. Now listen to these passages. What good is it if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Now that really sounds like the Bible is contradicting itself, doesn't it? That sounds like Paul and James are in a real theological battle. Not so. If we read portions of Paul's writing out of context and passages from James out of context, you could conclude that the two do not agree. But that's a strange, difficult, not a good thing to do. But if you put them both in the context, you will see that these two biblical writers are both teaching that we are saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. But the results are that that faith makes a person desire to live for Christ. Christ has saved me. I want to live for Him. I'm not fulfilling an obligation. I'm living for Jesus. I don't go to church on Sunday morning simply because it's an obligation that I have to go through. I go to church because I want to hear the Word of God. I want to be together with the people of God. I want to fellowship with them. I want to fellowship with God. I want to sing the hymns. I want to drink a cup of coffee and share the things of the day and what we have heard in the service. It's a marvelous opportunity. It's something. Sunday is not right if you're not in the house of the Lord. Now that comes from the heart. That is not an obligation. Shall we go to church tomorrow? The person says on a Saturday night. What else is new? Shall I go to work on Monday? It is just as natural because inside Christ lives within us that we want to be in His house and we want to be with His people. Christ has saved me. Here James also talks about a good example. The man's name is Abraham. You recall Abraham from the Old Testament? Abraham trusted God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. But one day God was going to test Abraham's faith. He only had one child, and that child was the apple of his eye. That is, one full child in the real sense of the word. God said to him, Abraham, you take your son Isaac, and you go to the top of the mountain, and there you sacrifice him to me. Can you imagine the turmoil that was going on in that person's mind? But Abraham, because he was a man of faith, said, God has spoken. And so he took that son and took him to the top of the mountain, and all the time the son was asking him all kinds of questions. Where is the lamb? How is this all going to take place? And Abraham simply answered, God will provide. They got to the top of the mountain. The altar was built. The son was put on the altar. He was about to be killed when out of the heavens, God cried out, "Abraham, Abraham." And he replied, "Here I am." And God said, "Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld your son, your only son." That's faith. But faith had so grabbed Abraham that he would even have given his son if God demanded it. You see, friend, there's a world out here that is hurting. There are some that are starving. Now, we're not talking about the person's relationship with the Lord. That is a given. The Church of Jesus Christ needs to go with the gospel of Christ. No question about that. That is our primary reason. But there are those who are hungry. There are those who are starving. There are those who are lonely. There are those who need the message and also the gifts that Christians can give them. The great preacher from Britain, Charles Spurgeon, once said, "If you want to give a hungry man a tract, telling him about the way of salvation, wrap it up in a sandwich. He will listen better." J.A. Mater writes in his commentary on James, "Pressure on government and other agencies to feed the hungry is a must for the evangelical church." As such a teaching as that sometimes gets a negative reaction from those of us who are evangelicals. Such preaching, we'll say, is the social gospel, and that does not belong in the church. But I love what my now sainted professor, Rolf Serdahl, once said. "To reach out to those who are in need is not the social gospel. It is a gospel with a social emphasis." But above all, it is what Jesus said. "I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink." And the disciples replied, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and give you something to eat, or thirsty and give you something to drink?" And Jesus said, "Whatever you did for the least of mine, you did it unto me." I appreciate what J.A. Mater has said. To Paul, the question was, how is salvation attained? How am I saved? That was a very important question for him and for you and me. And the answer is, we are saved by faith in Christ Jesus alone. To James, the question was, how is faith recognized by people? And the answer is, by its fruits. By its fruits. We are saved by faith in Christ Jesus alone. But a living faith produces good works. Amen.
Leading our lead, John.
Will you pray with me? Holy Spirit, we pray that you will create within us a faith that is a trust, a faith that causes us to want to give ourselves to the cause of God's kingdom. O Lord, never let us be satisfied with a faith that simply gives intellectual assent to what we have learned. We thank you for what we have been taught, and now we pray that those teachings may be living, dynamic truths in our lives. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message comfort and guide you as you walk in fellowship with the Lord. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported entirely by the gifts of our listening audience. Many people choose to support this ministry with a memorial gift. A memorial gift is given to remember a loved one or friend. Address your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. We are thankful to all those who support this ministry with their prayers and finances. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 69th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.